The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. Read from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself. From them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. The Gospel of the Lord. Very important element in understanding the apostles and their choice is that Jesus, before making any important decision, we see Jesus is praying. Before he chose the 12, he spent actually the whole night in prayer. So try to imagine Jesus already 8 o'clock all the way until 6 o'clock, spending a huge block of time in prayer. That's a lesson for us. And it means the more important decision you have to make, the more time you have to pray. I think that's probably common sense, but sometimes we don't do that. The more important decision we have to make, the more time we should spend. Okay, now I'll give you an example. Most of you know the Ignatian exercises. Some of you are doing them, some of you have already done the exercises. Now this you probably don't know. Among the many fruits and purposes, probably the most important is that of the choice of your state in life. And that takes 30 days. Our Lord spent 8 hours. That takes 30 days of prayer. 30 days of prayer. That's an Ignatian 30-day retreat. Now, how do you arrive at that? You have to know the Ignatian dynamic to understand this. You start off with principle and foundation, which is we have to know who God is, who we are, where we're heading, how to get there, and what are the steps we have to take to arrive at that final goal. That's a summary of principle and foundation. Then you encounter your major obstacle, which is sin. Then you meditate upon the sin of the angels, of Adam and Eve. One person was lost because of a mortal sin. Then you meditate upon the four last things, which we should be meditating on starting on Friday. Okay? We enter into November. Reality of death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. Then you meditate upon the bad tendencies you have in yourself. Those are called the capital sins. Gluttony, lust, greed, laziness, anger, jealousy, and pride. And this culminates in encountering the mercy of God. by making a general confession. Amen? Okay, so try to see the dynamic of this. That, in my program, that takes 5 weeks. Now you're ready to hear the voice of God, and you're able to see the presence of God in your life. Now you can enter into the dynamic of preparing yourself to make the most important decision in your life. Many of those who do the exercises have already decided upon their state of life, the married state. Many of you. Okay? So you're not going to decide after you do the exercise, well, I'm going to leave my wife, I'm going to become a contemplative monk. And that's not going to happen. Right? That would be the bad spirit. You're going to become Kermit the Hermit. Okay? No, in that case, you reform. You decide to reform certain elements that have to be reformed. But the Ignatian classics that we're going through now in this seventh week is you do the two standards to see the way the bad spirit works on you and the good spirit. And then you meditate upon the three grades of humility, which is we want to reject sin in our lives. Then you arrive at the three classes of men, which is we're trying to fortify our will. We're trying to align our will to the will of God. Now, if that's done in a retreat house, and those meditations are the second week, the fifth day, if you've ever done a 30-day retreat. Second week, the fifth day. What is that? That's right in the middle of the exercises, the midpoint. And you're going through these meditations with a director every day. You're talking to your director every day, maybe even twice a day. And then you utilize what is called the meditations on election for state of life. And Ignatius presents three different ways in which we can arrive at the proper choice. What would they be? Clarity beyond doubt, consolation, desolation, and preponderance of ideas. There you have the Ignatian dynamic. Clarity beyond doubt. Often you don't have that. Who had that? St. Matthew, right? Come follow me. Saul of Tarsus that fell off his horse. That's called clarity beyond doubt. Matthew had a clarity beyond doubt. He had to leave everything to follow Christ. Doesn't always happen that way, though. Saul, he fell down and he got up. Paul the Apostle. Doesn't always happen that way. But what about consolation and desolation? You're reflecting upon these different states of life, and one causes you a lot of desolation. I'm thinking about married life, that caused me a lot of desolation. You think about the priesthood, the religious life, a lot of consolation. God works in that way. Consolation, desolation. And then the preponderance of ideas, what's that? You pull out a notebook and you put the pros and cons, married life, religious life. The pros and cons. And then with that, you see where the scale tilts. If this is followed, obviously very few people do this. And many people make the wrong choice of state of life. They make the wrong choice. Because choosing your spouse or choosing your vocation is by far the most important decision in your life. almost like light years beyond anything else. That's going to determine who you are and how you're going to get to heaven. Now let's go back to those three elements. Sometimes there could be a combination of the three. There is clarity, but not beyond doubt. There is clarity, but it's not absolute clarity. There is consolation, desolation, but it's not very accentuated. Okay, then there's the preponderance of ideas. Maybe it seems to be kind of 50-50. It's not always clear. That's why you have to have a good spiritual director. If you don't have a good spiritual director, there's no way that you're gonna do it well. So in this, what you have is, I see it this way. Clarity beyond doubt is the light of the Holy Spirit. Consolation and desolation. There you have the emotions, right? Clarity beyond doubt, you have your intellect. So you got the Holy Spirit. You have your emotions, okay, the feelings within your emotions. Then preponderance of ideas, what is that? You got to use your intellect. You have to use your reason. So I really believe that you who come to this parish, you should understand the basics of this homily I'm giving to you. Do people understand what I'm talking about? I think you should try, not that you understand it perfectly, because some of you have grandchildren, some of you have children, and most of you have already chosen your state of life. Not all, but most of you have. But you have children, and some of you have teenage children or young adults. For the love of God, introduce them to this, so that when they have to make the most important decision in life, they're not being driven by emotions and feelings and sensuality and materialism, that almost everyone is driven by those, right? By feelings and emotions and money and power and vanity. That's the world. So the Ignatian dynamic is the exact opposite. You're driven by what God wants. And often God's will is not the will of the world. It's very countercultural, God's ideas. Your ways are not my ways, as the prophet says. So Jesus spent the whole night in prayer, and he's God. So we, before making decisions, even smaller decisions that you make, pray about that. Pray about that, even smaller decisions. Pray about that. But the more important the decision, the more time you have to pray. So let's ask the apostles who followed the Lord for the grace to know God's will and to carry it out. You know why we have bread? They died as martyrs. According to tradition, we don't have too much about them, but they were friends and they preached together. They went to Ethiopia and Mesopotamia and Persia, according to tradition. And the reason why we celebrate them today is because, according to tradition, they died on the same day. Jude was decapitated, like John the Baptist. Do you know how Simon died? He was sawed in half, okay? So he got a saw and was sawed in half. That's why, have you ever seen a picture? They're together. Jude has an axe, because that's how he died. They cut his head off with an axe. And Simon has a saw. Wow. I see you're scared, huh? Yeah. It's kind of scary, you know? You think about this, no? I would prefer beheaded rather than being sawed in half. I don't know about you, no? Maybe even the firing squad, huh? No? But you see that these men, they love God so much that they prefer death. And now they're with Jesus forever in heaven as two of his best friends. Amen.